Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Oh, yes! I hate this! It is revolting!
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 22, 2022. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 400 of the Biden-Harris administration. 259 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram, The Bob Seska. Follow me over there. And I'm on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And sitting right over there, it's Buzz.
When you say Buzz,
there he is.
You've said it all.
Perfect show already.
There's no such thing as practicing comedy without a license.
Hi, hello.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be home. There's always trouble outside the studio.
Yeah, I know. Always, every show.
Never mind them. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And as soon as we're done here, a copy of this show goes straight to the National Archives. Boom.
Maybe not today's show, but we'll send another show. We'll send a different show.
Cardboard boxes. President Biden's doing a great job of uniting our allies. Got to be very proud of this. Yeah. Here's just how good he is. This morning, he got all our allies to condemn Wordle. So I thought.
Are you playing Wordle?
No.
Neither am I.
So Putin says he's ordered forces into Ukraine for peacekeeping.
Yes.
Now, if you're not sure how that works, it's like inserting a penis to prevent pregnancy.
Perfect metaphor. I have heard no better metaphor than that right there for this whole fracas. Yeah.
Yeah, but here's why I think the war in Ukraine will be over quickly. The Russian army gets disqualified for doping. All right. That's exactly what's going to happen. Bless her heart, England's Queen Elizabeth, 96 years old. England's Queen Elizabeth got COVID.
Yeah.
Buckingham Palace says it's a mild case, but that she got it by spending too much time down at the pub.
With Andy Capp, hanging out with Andy Capp, I'm sure.
Back here at home, meanwhile, Family Dollar is recalling some of its merchandise after more than 1,000 rats were found in its warehouse.
Ew.
Some of the rats, however, have now agreed to testify against Trump.
So.
Oh, we're bringing this one back.
If you have any doubt, it's gonna take him out, Ukraine. Don't forget this fact, he's just a lying sack, Ukraine. He just lies, Ukraine.
We can make this about Putin now and not necessarily Donald Trump. It's kind of the same.
If we let him loose, he's gonna spread fake news, Ukraine.
Also Putin, right?
Yeah, his day is done, and we wanna dump Trump, Ukraine. He keeps lying, Ukraine.
All right, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Still works.
Yeah. Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter is how you can follow him and all of his music and all of his photography and all of his jokes. Yeah, go there. All right. It's been an interesting show so far, insofar as we had to start the show like four or five times. I've got some.
I'm exhausted.
I know. We've done four shows already today. And yeah, I don't know. Like always, I'm having technical problems. It's you know, this is the nature of podcasting. Back in radio, we used to have engineers who would rush in. You know how fast they would rush in, right?
Right.
And fix all of the technical problems because they went to school and they had degrees based on what wires to connect and what buttons to push. Mm-hmm. And here with podcasting, unlike the podcasting in the Sex and the City reboot, we have to do all that shit ourselves. And I don't know anything about anything. So suddenly my soundboard keeps going haywire today.
Well, it's all music to my ears. Yeah. We're here now.
Yeah, I'm sure you're just loving all of our jingles now, Buzz, as I've been playing them over and over again to test the sound.
I was able to record them. I now have a reel of your jingles, so...
All right. Well, on to serious matters here on our Big Tuesday show. As we all know at this point, the Russian troops have entered the Donetsk and Luhansk regions in eastern Ukraine. And lots of people wondering and speculating, why is he doing this? Why are you doing this,
Putin? Don't do this.
And that's what he's doing. Everyone's wondering what the hell Vladimir Putin is up to. And I have this, this is not the real theory, but this is my fake theory, okay, that, the you know, Putin just hates the Olympics. Every time there's an Olympics, Putin's got to invade something. And right. So, you know, you remember the previous Olympics in Sochi, I guess it was, then he went in and annexed to Crimea.
Right.
And just occupied Crimea. So what the hell? I'm just going to go and do that. There's an Olympics and everything. And so here we are in the wake of another Olympics, and he's doing it again. But that's not the real reason. Obviously, there are a couple of things that are rattling around in Vladimir Putin's head. The first thing, after seeing some clips of his video presentation yesterday, Buzz, first thing I know that's rattling around in Vladimir Putin's head, brain worms. Absolutely, yeah. Brain worms. He's fucking nuts. And that's not just the end all be all. We're not going to sit here and go, oh, you know, he's doing this just because he's nuts and he's bonkers. And this is just what nuts and bonkers people actually do. That's not.
This is not just a wild claim. People who have listened to Vladimir Putin over the years say this was absolutely, positively the single most unhinged speech he has ever given.
Uh-huh.
People have remarked if it takes an hour to explain why you need to go to war, maybe your reasons aren't that great.
Yeah.
You know, he wants the Soviet Union back. He's always wanted that. That's what, in my mind, what a lot of this is about.
I just can't help but to think, as I was watching him slumped over at his desk, it was at such a weird camera angle, and he was just like lounging around as if he was the guy at the end of the bar who was just bitching. He's just spending his whole evening at the bar like Cliff Clavin bitching about Ukraine and how.
See, instead of slumping behind a desk, if Putin wanted to show strength, he would have been shirtless on a horse.
Right.
There's an image of strength.
In all seriousness, what he's really into is toxic nostalgia. He wants to rebuild the Soviet Empire. He has this longing for the good old days of the Soviet Empire when they occupied
KGB,
Ukraine.
Former KGB, and he wants it back. He would like, and I don't think he wants to stop there. I think he really wants the entire Soviet Union back together again.
Yeah.
And we're going to see, he's going to see how much he can get away with at this point.
Well, one of the theories is the emergence of democracy right on his border. He's threatened by that. Certainly his oligarch buddies are threatened by that. Their fortunes that they've amassed by kleptocracy, by thieving all of their money from the Russian people. Democracy is a direct threat to that. Democracy empowers those people to say, no more of this shit. No more of declaring yourself president for life. No more of stealing our money and running off with it and building expensive houses as the Russian economy sucks balls. I mean, the Russian economy is, I think, slower and more pathetic than, like, the Italian economy. And we all know the jokes about, like, for example, the Italian space program. Italians, you shouldn't look to the Italian, and I'm half Italian, so I can say this. You shouldn't look to the Italians for any markers in terms of ambition or motivation. But suffice to say, this is a matter of shoving back an emerging NATO democracy. in a territory that Vladimir Putin, through his toxic nostalgia, believes belongs to Russia. Like, oh, this is so. This, Ukraine was a creation of Russia. Well, you know what? At one point, the Mongols occupied Ukraine, occupied that region too, before Russia did.
And his claim is untrue, as is much of the things, many of the things that he said in his speech yesterday were untrue. But it wasn't for our benefit. It was for the benefit of the Russian people. I'll be interested to see. And that's their only source of news, is him. So whatever he says goes. There are a few skeptics among the Russian populace. It'll be interesting to see. Their economy is already in a really rough shape there. Once the sanctions set in and the cost of war set in, it'll be interesting to see how popular Putin is and how willing people are in Russia to rise up against him. In the meantime, there is a democracy at stake in Ukraine, which is now surrounded on three sides by 190,000 Russian troops. I don't think they're going to stop with those two provinces.
No,
I really don't. What they took these two provinces, saying they were ours anyway, and what they're waiting for is provocation from Ukraine, which will absolutely come. You know, they've found their reason to invade the rest of Ukraine and to go after Kyiv and perhaps the entire country.
And if you remember back to when Vladimir Putin, I almost said Donald Trump, for fuck's sake, when Vladimir Putin,
it's so easy to get them confused.
I know. When he invaded and occupied Crimea, there were reports of Russian sympathizers in the Donbass region, in the Donetsk and Luhansk areas of eastern Ukraine. And everyone assumed, and I remember reports at the time, that these rebel forces that emerged in that area that are loyal to Moscow, that this was actually just Russian forces. And I think it's turned out to be, in the end, some rebel groups in that area that are actually backed by Russian military equipment and so on. And so these rebel groups have been fighting to break away from Ukraine. And then yesterday, Vladimir Putin goes, okay, we're going to recognize the rebel forces and their desire to have those areas break away from Ukraine. And now we're going to go in and back them up. And then prior to that, there was a false flag about a genocide going on in that area. So this is all justified to the Russian people as being a peacekeeping mission, as being something we're going to back up the pro-Russian forces in this area. But what it really is a very thin, practically transparent excuse to invade Ukraine, which is exactly what they have done. So they're going to use this area as a launching pad in the east. Maybe they're going to come in through Belarus and invade into Kyiv from that area. It's just, it's a fucking mess. But already, I think the West has stepped up with sanctions and so on. What are we going to add, Buzz?
Well, and I was just going to say, Biden addressed the nation today at about the time we wrapped up taping this show. And he was expected to announce further sanctions, a truckload of them, because the White House said this morning officially that it is their belief that Russia has, in fact, now invaded Ukraine.
Yes.
And Putin, to what you were just talking about, Putin was hoping that it would be just vague enough if he slipped in a couple of Russian territories in Ukraine and, you know, said declared them independent and sent back up, that wouldn't be seen as an invasion. You know, he was hoping that, you know, it's a soft invasion, to be sure, but a pretext for a larger war. But the White House isn't buying it. And I have to admire the Biden administration for the way it's handled all of this in terms of uniting our allies, supplying Ukraine with the tools that it needs to defend itself against Russian aggression, and telegraphing every move, Putin's every move before he does it. This has got to unnerve Putin to know that there's some kind of leak in the Kremlin, that Biden knows every damn thing he's about to do before he does it and tells the world and shares this with the world. Really brilliant handling in an effort to try to prevent war on the part of Joe Biden.
Yeah, and I remember it was either Thursday or Friday of last week, Joe Biden appeared doing a chopper talk, and he was like, oh, yeah, you know what? Any time now, Vladimir Putin's going to engage in a false flag in Donbas, and right. certainly that's exactly what happened. So you're exactly right. That is such a great strategy, and that hadn't necessarily occurred to me until just now. So well done. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then the other thing, I think Biden was getting some criticism as far as not levying sanctions prior to Putin going into Ukraine, going into Donbass.
Everybody's an expert. Now that we've yeah. mastered the coronavirus, everyone's now an expert in foreign affairs. You exactly. know, now that we know everything there is to know about COVID, we can now move on and straighten out this foreign affairs situation.
Yes.
Because everybody is an expert on that. And I think here again, I think Biden's doing exactly the right thing. Mm-hmm. When they did their little pussyfooting thing into Ukraine yesterday,
yeah.
it was kind of an invasion, but kind of not really. And Putin was hoping he could get away with it, immediately got called out for it, and a few sanctions went into place. I think what people heard this afternoon after we finished recording our show was that there were a whole lot of other sanctions added today.
Yeah.
And there are more waiting in the wings. The U.S. and its allies can get tougher and tougher and tougher. Germany really stepped up this morning by saying, no, or was it yesterday? I've lost track of time. Germany stepped up by saying, no, there's going to be no Nord Stream
two
pipeline.
Yeah.
We're shutting that down. There'll be no further development of that
mm-hmm.
Because of Russia's actions. This is a very, very serious blow to Russia economically, and they're already in trouble. And there's more suffering for them to come. I think Biden's doling it out exactly correctly, and I think anybody who would criticize the pace doesn't know what they're talking about.
What you don't want to do is telegraph the ultimate punishment necessarily. I mean, you want to warn a little bit just by way of saying, yeah, you know what, if you do X and Y, here's what we're going to do in a general sense. But if you start laying down actual sanctions before he does anything, mm-hmm. then that's going to encourage him to say, fuck it, I'm getting sanctioned anyway, I might as well do it. I think I know exactly where you're about to go with this. Like, if you were to say to a kid who's out past curfew, yeah, right. when you get home, you're in big fucking trouble. Well, that's not going to get the kid home any sooner. You know what I mean? Right. In fact, that's right. going to encourage the kid to stay out longer. Like, oh, shit.
Or to punish them before they even go out the door.
Yeah, exactly.
In this case.
Exactly right.
Everybody knows that the punishment needs to come later, and you don't want to show all your cards at once. If you... pardon the expression, shoot your wad now. If you hit him with every sanction you've got now, mm-hmm. sure, it'll probably shut him down, but then you've got nothing left. You're out of cards.
Yeah, yeah.
This is being done very, very wisely by some very good people, and I'm very pleased with the way the U.S. and its allies, united, are standing against this. This is a terrible situation we're in, and yet I'm heartened by the world's reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that Vladimir Putin very much sees his place in history. He understands what history is kind of compelling him to do. He feels as if it's his responsibility to resurrect those imperial dreams of the Soviet Empire and to recapture some of that, to bring Ukraine back under Russian rule like it was originally intended. And it all seems so familiar to me. I mean, he might as well just be saying, hey, look, I want to make Russia great again. I mean, that's exactly kind of what he's doing here.
He would have some money if he'd sold hats.
Yeah.
You know, that say, make Russia great again.
That's right. Meantime, the United Kingdom is sanctioning 5 Russian banks and three different oligarchs. Some experts are calling that a tepid response. But here's what I see as far as the rollout of sanctions. This continues what I was saying a second ago, which is that the rollout of the sanctions, you're not going to clobber him all at once. You're going to implement certain sanctions with certain moves that he makes. Remember a chess game. This is all about a major international relations chess match between the Western powers, the NATO powers, and Vladimir Putin. So Putin moves his pawn.
Strategy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So this is all part of that move by move strategy where you don't want to get too heavy handed. Otherwise, you can end up losing your queen right away. No sanctions are being laid down here that aren't, being discussed among, the UK and the US and Germany and the US and the UK and all these NATO allies. And I don't know that it's working yet. I don't know that it can work. If Putin is as fucked up in the head as I think he might be, as some other experts, not saying that I'm an expert, but as some experts might be suggesting right now, that no matter what happens as far as sanctions go, Putin is going to do what Putin wants to do, because his motivation here has more to do with Russian history pushing him forward, at least the way he sees it.
Well, Trump tore up the translator's notes. I wonder if Trump's ask of Putin was wait to do this thing with Ukraine after I've left office.
Yeah.
When the next guy's in. And I'm sorry, I'm not proud of myself for this, but I'm still focused on when you said you don't want to lose your queen. I'm not proud of the fact that I immediately thought of Lindsey Graham. I didn't. Our queen. Sorry. I'm not proud.
Yeah. Where has he been? I haven't heard from Lindsey Graham. I should check his Twitter feed or something like that, because this is kind of his wheelhouse, isn't it?
I mean, he's out there somewhere. I saw something, but it didn't.
Yeah. Well, he was lined up with John McCain on Ukraine in, 2014? And then also with Georgia. And so I wonder if Lindsey Graham is lining up with his Fox News backers.
Let me check the wind direction.
Yeah. Hey, does anyone know if Tucker Carlson was referring to Russia as peacekeepers yesterday on his show? I don't know. I didn't check in on Tucker Carlson.
We certainly know he's taking their side. You know, Putin could have sold a lot of those Make Russia Great Again hats to Republicans
here
in the U.S. as they seem to be taking Russia's side, which is sort of surprising and sort of not in light of what's happening here in this country. And is it an accident? Is it a coincidence that Putin is making this move at a time that the U.S. is so divided, at a time the world is so divided, in the midst of all kinds of crisis and chaos? We have the January 6th committee underway. We've got still fighting COVID. If you're Putin, this is the perfect time to strike.
Yeah.
To me, this is no accident.
Mm-hmm. They've also been saying a lot of bullshit about how, well, Putin didn't try to do this while Donald Trump was president. He's deliberately doing it when Obama was president, now when Joe Biden is president. And I think the counterpoint to that is Putin didn't need to do it when Trump was president. Putin had a very reliable ally in Donald Trump for 4 years. And so flexing his might on the international stage in those 4 years wasn't entirely necessary from a military point of view. If he had a friendly government in Washington, that's all he really needed. He knew that eventually what would happen is Donald Trump would unravel NATO, which he was absolutely trying to do. And by unraveling NATO, then Vladimir Putin can get away with whatever he wants to. But that didn't happen. I think Vladimir Putin got completely screwed in that 2020 election, losing Donald Trump and kind of missing out on phase two of his.
And yet he didn't. I mean, I think part of our theory here, at least part of my theory, but the theory I just expressed, is that Putin had money well spent in Trump. He doesn't really need Trump right now, because Trump has already created the division and chaos that he wanted us in order to get away with this. And look where we are, Republicans siding with Russia.
Yeah. Let me see. Is there anything happening now that we're going to regret not mentioning on the show seconds after we finish? I don't see any big breaking news.
Not regarding Ukraine. As like I said, after we finished recording today's show, the president spoke and likely was expected at least to deliver harsher sanctions against Russia.
Yeah.
That's the only new news so far today.
Well, the remaining question mark is, does he continue on? Does he move into Ukraine proper? And I'm saying Ukraine proper just to distinguish it from Donbas and these regions that Russia is now occupying. So that's the next stage.
These 190,000 troops standing around outside the border, 9 miles away from the border of Ukraine, they're not there for their health. You wouldn't have that many troops on hand if you didn't plan to go further or farther. Actually, both words work in this case. But I think he does plan to go ahead, and I think the U.S. expects that, and I think the U.S. and its allies are anticipating that and figuring out ways to deal with it.
Well, we'll keep you posted on that as further shows roll out here. I don't think we're anywhere near being done with all of this, but I think, at least from where I'm sitting, and as I've said, I'm not necessarily a Russiaphile. I'm not a Russia expert. But I don't think the United States is going to be drawn into this this situation militarily. I don't think that's going to happen. At least not in the near term. There would have to be some sort of serious attack against legitimate NATO allies or against American interests directly.
He simply wants to reassemble the Soviet Union. There is concern that he has Poland next in his sights. And, you know, we've been there before.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
A lot of people are calling this Cold War II, which is an interesting... I like it better than World War III, I'll tell you that.
And I wonder if we would be in this place were it not for Vladimir Putin himself. I wonder how much of this is directly Vladimir Putin. Like, I wonder if the Russian Congress, the Duma, and Medvedev and all of these guys, I wonder if they're really on board with what Vladimir Putin is doing, or if they're just going along because he's fucking Vladimir Putin. And so it's hard to know. But it seems like a suicide mission. If you're Vladimir Putin,
very well could be. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if he's worried about his money, if he's worried about his oligarch money under threat from an emerging NATO democracy in Ukraine, then he's actually jeopardizing that by taking this military action. He's actually making that more likely that there are going to be some serious ramifications for his money, and there already has been. And we're only at the beginning of the sanction process.
Just getting started, right?
Yeah. So this is where I land on brain worms. He's just out to fucking lunch, and he thinks that he's like the typical megalomaniac. Like, it looks at history and goes, I have a significant place in this Russian history. And Russians, they love to endure hardship. That's kind of a Russian thing. And so Putin's trying to wedge himself squarely into that kind of thing. Like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to preserve Russian history and our status as this former Soviet empire, et cetera. I'm willing to resurrect that if it means I'm completely screwed because of it, or, some version of that. So anyway,
diagnosis sealed on Putin. No sane man would plunge his country into war without provocation.
And this is what he's doing. And it's only going to turn out bad for him. And I don't think the United States is going to have to fire a shot in the process. I think we're going to be able to do this entirely with sanctions. Right. He may end up keeping these two quote unquote breakaway regions, Donetsk and Luhansk, in eastern Ukraine. They may stay in his possession. But any move beyond that is just going to be, he's not going to be able to occupy anything. What he's going to do is he's going to be able to attack, but then he's going to end up failing and he's going to have to withdraw. That's my rosy scenario.
I think we can deliver all the punishment we need to, we and our allies, through sanctions.
Yeah.
What we also want to avoid, besides a shooting war involving the United States, is we don't want to engage in a cyber war.
Yeah.
I've seen people suggest, why don't we just turn all the lights out in Moscow? That'll show them. Well, we probably have the capability to do that. Likewise, they have the capability to do it here. The U.S. and Russia are considered, although... the U.S. military is vastly superior to the Russian military. Russia is equal to us when it comes to cyber warfare. They are on the same ground we are, and it's a tie. And you don't want that kind of standoff.
Yeah, I would say they're slightly better off. I think Russia has been more successful in its cyber war insofar that...
more practice.
Well, it successfully elected a president in the United States. It interfered with our political discourse here to the point where a bunch of people voted for a fucking game show host and flim-flam artist, and he became president. So I think victory there. I don't know that we've necessarily replaced any Russian leaders. We certainly haven't replaced Putin, that's for sure. So, I think they're a little bit more successful on the cyber front.
Certainly more aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of the cyber front, we want to talk about Truth Social here in just a second. The Truth Social rollout was a fucking disaster. I love every bit of this. This is one of the stories that I've been following since the beginning because it seems so ludicrous that anyone would go into business with Donald Trump. I think that's utter madness. I think, what is it that they expect out of this? What is in it for them? How do they think this is going to turn out? It's not going to turn out well for anybody. Not Devin Nunes, not the Trump boys, not any of the investors, certainly not this, whatever this is, this shell capital, this SPAC, DWAC. It's not going to turn out well for them. It's like getting aboard a sinking ship. And you know that even if it's not sinking at that point, you know that eventually it will sink because of history, because of what we have seen already. See also Trump University and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and all the rest of it, Trump Foundation.
Truth Social has learned exactly what we expected. They can't handle the truth.
Exactly right. And by the way, Truth Social sounds like, those of you who've been with the show long enough, you know, this sounds exactly like Dan Bedondi's old radio show, right? Dan Bedondi, who was part of the Alex Jones universe, had a radio show. It was called Truth Radio Show. And so the Truth Social, man, I just want to go right to that Dan Bedondi voice talking about the Truth Social website. So absolute disaster, legal problems in the offing, and so much more. We're going to get into that and other topics, Supreme Court and so on here in just a second. But first, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week. But this one's completely different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. Yeah, yeah. Well, here's an example. On Friday's after party, we did an Ask Us Anything session where our Patreon subscribers submitted questions for us.
Here we go.
Yeah, one of the questions had to do with which one of the two of us farted in front of the other first. So we did end up devolving into the question of who farted first, me or Kimberly, when we first got together. And then we got into a discussion as to who's farted during sex. So the only way you're going to find out the answer to any of those questions is to subscribe to the Friday After Party podcast on our Patreon page. That's BobSeskaShow.com. Please help support this podcast by subscribing to that show. $10 per month and bonus. You're also going to get two Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And we thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
It's 2 a.m. and you're up again, holding my bags, I just checked. Almost ending with three shows out. Might need to sit or grab a beer and we'll go now. You tell me you'll be okay when I'm gone. You tell me that you're okay when you're not.
Yeah, this is a brand new music song called Here and There. The band is called Dress. D-R-E-S. And then, much like my Twitter handle, it ends with an underscore. So it's D-R-E-S underscore. That's the name of the band. And I'm not sure if you pronounce it Dress. I wrote an email back to the guys from Dress. How the hell do you pronounce the name of your band? And I haven't heard back yet. So I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going with Dress. D-R-E-S signifies Dress. I don't know if it would be the acronym. I don't know if they would just say D-R-E-S underscore. But I like that they put an underscore after their name. It's like one of those things where I feel vindicated insofar as, hey, maybe it's going to be cool now to have an underscore.
All the kids are doing it.
That's right. I started a trend, damn it, doing stupid shit with an underscore in your handle. Now bands are being called things that have underscores in them. All right. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. Also, I think Indie Music Countdown coming up this Monday. I can't believe we're at the end of February already. Yeah. Looking forward to
State
that.
State of the Union Indie Music Countdown.
Oh, that's right. What is State of the Union the 28th?
No, it's a March 1st. So you'll be done with it by then. Yeah.
All right. So on this show next Tuesday, we've got about a 3-hour shelf life before the State of the Union starts.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. It's going to be one of those days, huh? All right, well, Trump's Truth Social rollout was a fucking mess. The site was immediately glitchy, No one could log in. Devin Nunes says, though, it's going to be fixed by the end of March.
Right.
Which is odd because usually with Trump, it's always going to be fixed within 2 weeks or it's going to be fixed by Tuesday. And then it never is. But right. Devin Nunes, here he is, giving an actual estimate for when it's going to be fixed, end of March. At around 11 o'clock yesterday morning, select users who tried to create accounts were repeatedly met with a red error warning. Something went wrong. Please try again. you know what? That could signify Donald Trump's presidency. Something went wrong. Please try again. And he's.
I heard that they got like 345 people initially, and that there were 16,000 in the waiting room, on the waiting list. But by the end of another five or six weeks, it'll all be straightened out.
Oh, I'm sure. So, yeah. Or yeah. as Donald Trump used to say, in the next period of time, it's going to be fixed.
If lawsuits don't shut it down, now it appears they also stole the logo as well as stealing the format of Twitter. They stole a logo from some other unrelated company. Perhaps unknowingly, but still, that's about how they would go about it.
Yeah.
So it has to survive lawsuits in addition to technical challenges.
Yeah. The logo was stolen from a UK-based trucking analytics company called Trailr. They said, we are now seeking legal advice to understand next steps and options available to protect our brand. It is literally the same logo. The only difference is the Truth Social logo has a little green square.
In the lower right corner. Yeah. Otherwise, it is identical. But you know how much Trump loves trucks, big trucks.
That's right. Hong Kong goes the truck. But with this is completely in keeping with what Donald Trump does. From the logo being ripped off to the format and layout being ripped off from Twitter, Donald Trump and his boys and his daughter, this is what they do. They steal shit and then they slap their name on it and then claim they invented it. This is what they have done for years. I mean, we're talking decades now. The entire business model of the Trump Organization is to take someone else's building that they built and to slap Donald Trump's name on it pretend like he was the one who built it or he was the one who invented it. There's also the episodes where, and I say episodes plural, where Melania Trump stole Michelle Obama's speeches or whole sections, not the entire speech, but whole sections of the speech where it is exactly the same. They steal shit. Make America Great Again. Stolen from Ronald Reagan. There's not a single thing that Donald Trump has done that has been invented by him. No, didn't he once say that he invented Prime the Pump?
Probably.
Jesus Christ.
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know.
And people go, yes, of course he invented it because we don't know fuck all, right?
Exactly. Oh, we're stupid, God. And the Republicans want to keep it that way, defunding education left and right.
I know.
I was amused yesterday that to make fun, to mock the sloppy rollout of Truth Social, hashtag Trump Steaks was trending yesterday for a while. And just kind of a reminder of how this is going to go ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely predictable. We know exactly how it's going to go, Buzz, because this is what has happened throughout Trump's business career. One failure after another. The only thing that he did successfully was to get elected president. And even that he needed help with. Even that, Russia gave him all this help, pumping all kinds of disinformation into social media and Facebook. Facebook was taking fucking rubles, for God's sake, in exchange for advertising and disinformation. And then Trump comes in and claims that it was his great victory, takes possession of it.
Right.
Ownership. Once again, something else takes ownership of it. Exactly. Once again, Donald Trump standing on someone else's shoulders and saying that he's actually 9 feet tall. That's exactly what's happening. Here's Trump Steaks, by the way.
When it comes to great steaks, I've just raised the stakes. The Sharper Image is one of my favorite stores with fantastic products of all kinds.
Of all kinds. Yeah, you know what? Who would have thought that selling steaks in a Sharper Image mall store would have turned out to be a disaster? And everyone's like, yeah, we got to climb on board, invest all kinds of money in this ridiculous Truth Social thing to take on Twitter with its, I don't know, 15-year history. How long has Twitter been around? I signed on Twitter, I think in 2009 I first started on Twitter. So it's been a long time that Twitter's been around. And they think they're somehow going to compete against Twitter just simply by ripping off the exact format of Twitter and just changing the color of the blue checks to pink checks.
And using the logo of a trucking company.
God damn it. It's one thing after another, just stolen. And I'm so looking forward to the lawsuits.
He's facing so much justice. Jennifer Rubin in the Washington Post, bless her heart, she had a wonderful, wonderful column this week about all the trouble Trump is in. I believe Letterman would have said, I wouldn't trade his troubles for with a monkey on a rock. He's in a world of trouble, and he's put himself there. And good news for us just keeps coming. I think what the article really said to me was that there will be accountability. It's already in progress.
Yes.
And we just got a ruling from the Supreme Court before the show today. See, sometimes things do happen before the show.
Oh, yeah.
We got a ruling from the Supreme Court today that said the National Archives can, in fact, go ahead and turn over anything the January 6th committee wants from Donald Trump's records. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the rest of it, and it's the end of Trump's quest to try to block access to his records. That fight is over. We win.
Yes, absolutely. And that case is entirely done. He has run out of options as far as the National Archives case. And on top of everything else, on the Shadow Docket program, on the Shadow Docket podcast, on our Patreon page, we're going to be talking about the 17 things that are the complete list of legal cases against Donald Trump. I think there are 17 total. And we're going to be detailing each one of those. So if you're interested in accountability for Donald Trump, you want to stick around for the Shadow Docket show on our Patreon page.
We may perhaps someday call it the Truth Docket.
Exactly right. And I'm going to change the logo to a...
steal a logo from something. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, they're available. Apparently you can do that now. despite being billed as a venture to stand up to the tyranny of big tech, Trump's new platform is going to utilize AI sensors to police its content. Uh-huh. The Fox Business Network reported in January that Truth has... the Truth. Oh, my God. You talk about Orwellian while we're talking about Truth here. Calling Donald Trump's social media platform the Truth. Truth Social. So Orwellian. Well, Truth has enlisted a San Francisco-based Series D startup that provides automated solutions through cloud-based artificial intelligence for understanding images, videos, and content. One of the cases of censorship already is the guy who does Devin Nunes Cow. Tried to sign up with the handle Devin Nunes Cow on Truth Social. Got banned right away.
It works. Right, well, something works at least.
So free speech, right? It's a platform that's supposed to be all about free speech. No censorship of people just because their political views are different, except if you want to register the domain name Devin Nunes Cow. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that Devin Nunes runs the company now. There's that. Obviously, this is something that's going to give us more and more delight over the years as we watch this crash and burn.
True. But I'm really jacked about the prosecutions that are pending and the doors that have been opened to punishing Donald Trump. I like the way this is going. I think back in January, I said on the show that we expected the January 6th committee hearings to start by the end of February. Mm-hmm. That doesn't appear to be coming to pass.
Right.
There are some other things hopping right now as well. I too am eager for those to get started. I do think they'll span the summer months, though, leading up to the election.
Yeah, and I still think they're going to have an effect. I still think they will. Oh, yeah. If at the very least, they'll energize Democratic voters.
I hope so, yes.
And we need all the energy we can get because just looking at some polls, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but just looking at some polls, not looking good for the Democrats. I mean, there was a national poll that showed something positive for the Democrats in like a generic ballot kind of way.
Right.
But there are other things indicating that for some reason, in the face of all of this shit, all of these, you know, we got Supreme Court cases, we've got state legislatures passing all kinds of horrible things. We've got the Republicans poised to replace democracy with some form of idiocratic authoritarianism. And Democrats still napping. apparently. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that.
And we still need Democrats to run for school boards and city councils. Government. Yeah. This is where the bad stuff is happening right now. If you look at the mask fights and the book fights, it's all at the local level. Your politics is very local now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to get involved with it or enlist others to do so.
Well, meantime, the Supreme Court has taken up a case that will decide whether a website designer can decline same-sex weddings.
Mm-hmm.
We're back at that place again, where I said, well, no, my religious beliefs say I can't do a website for this same-sex wedding in this case.
And it seems to me this court is inclined to agree with decide with so-called religious liberties.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter that there is no legitimate religious objection to building a website for a same-sex marriage. Why? Because there was not really any same-sex weddings going on when the Bible was written, but also the fact that there were no websites back when the Bible was written either. Find me in the Bible where it says you can't make a website for a gay wedding. I don't think you're going to find it. Good luck searching for, you know, the section about websites and HTML in the Bible. There's nothing about Squarespace in the Bible. Sorry. But the Supreme Court said on Tuesday it's going to decide whether a website designer may decline to make wedding websites for same-sex couples in a case that could have sweeping implications in the battle over LGBTQ rights.
Yep.
And, you know, with this court, all you need to say is, you know what? I have a religious objection. Well, what's your justification for that religious objection? I don't know. Okay, here, you can do whatever you want as long as you claim it's under the auspices of your religious faith. Your closely held religious faith, right?
Florida Republicans are spinning wildly out of control on that and other issues. This Don't Say Gay bill that's before the Florida legislature, now there's talk of an amendment. I guess now there is an amendment proposed that would require schools to out gay LGBTQ students.
Yeah.
Even if the school officials realize that outing the student will subject them to harm, ridicule, bullying, the rest of it.
Well, they're outing them to their parents primarily, and that can be all kinds of problematic.
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about, it's one thing to be rejected and bullied by your classmates, and that's hard enough. But in a lot of cases, especially in conservative regions of the country, if you're outed to your parents, oh, God, that's going to mean conversion therapy. That's going to mean, you know, being ostracized from the people who support you while you're still a fucking child.
Exactly.
And that's horrifying to me. This Don't Say Gay bill is immensely toxic.
And on the subject of women, they want to tack onto the 15 week abortion bill that they're looking at. They want to tack on, they want to go after contraceptives. A Florida Republican lawmaker stood up yesterday and said contraceptives don't always work, and because they fail, that feeds the, quote, bloodthirsty abortion industry, end quote.
Yep.
This is what we're up against, folks. This is what happens if we don't vote and if we don't take others with us to make sure that all our votes count.
Yeah.
These are major, major stakes that will affect the lives of you and your family and your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers.
Yeah, all three Republicans who are running for Michigan Attorney General have stated that they oppose Griswold v. Connecticut, that outlawed prosecuting married couples for using contraception. They're coming after. I mean, we've been talking about Griswold for some time now in the same context as Roe v. Wade. Once they're done overturning Roe, it's Griswold on the horizon next. People who predict some sort of Handmaid's Tale scenario, they're not that far off the mark.
Right.
This is the kind of shit that leads to these kinds of societies, these dystopian societies where, you know, men have this overwhelming purview over women, where the pendulum swings so far the other direction that it becomes this major form of oppression that harkens back to bygone eras. Some of them not so far back in the past, but others certainly in the deep past, where, you know, women are tortured and all kinds of horrible things are done to them in the name of fetuses or in the name of marital fidelity or in the name of ownership of women. By their husbands or by their fathers or whatever. So this is another step in that direction. It's directed squarely at women. I assure you, people will still be able to fucking buy condoms. But when it comes to contraceptive medication, anything that's going to be far more difficult. Yeah, yeah, right, absolutely. Right. So I want to talk about this also from the perspective of the importance of the midterm elections and where we are as Democrats in the lead up to all of that. And it's not really all that positive, but I hope that we can somehow motivate more action in our small corner of the podcast verse. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, back with more show right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Great Brad Brooks. I believe he's out of the Bay Area. He has a song called Heartbreak of Fools. It's one of those songs that sounds so familiar to me, and I guess that just makes it a great hook. Yeah, so good. BradBrooksMusic.com, link in the description to support Brad Brooks and all the bands here on the show. Right under this episode at BobSuska.com. Yeah. All right. Getting back into things here. Yeah. Where were we? Oh, yes. Talking about some disasters on the horizon if we don't hustle up. I mean, Charlie Pierce said it best today on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's like, you know what? We just got to turn out. We just got to show up. If we show up the way we have in the past, we can overcome some of this shit.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot to overcome yet. Now, we're doing pretty well on gerrymandering. And by the way, the Republicans have lost every single lawsuit they have filed to try to protect their gerrymandering. Mm-hmm. And that's very encouraging for us. But I want to go farther than that. I want to shoot higher. As I've said before, we don't want to, at least I don't want to just win. I want to crush the fascist party. I want to make it unpopular and fringe again. And I say not only for ourselves to turn out, but to make sure we take others with us. I'm working on somebody myself who's a reluctant voter, but I'm really determined to try to get them to the polls. People just don't realize what's at stake. But
yeah.
So I would take what Charlie Pierce said even further, which is just make sure that you vote and turn out as we have in the past, but make sure you take some people with you as insurance.
Now, what I'm about to say too, Buzz, is this is directly aimed at younger voters. Let's talk about 18 to 34 aged Democrats. Okay. Roughly a quarter, 24%, said they paid a great deal of attention to national news in 2021. Mm-hmm. Compared with, now you say, okay, 24%, I guess, among younger voters, is that good? Is that bad? It's horrible. You know where it was in November of 2020? 70%.
Wow.
Since the November 2020 election, participation following the national news has declined from 70% to 24% among Democrats aged 18 to 34.
This is why you have to talk to your fellow voters, because a lot of Democrats, and I believe this to be very, very true, a lot of Democrats now have taken the position, well, now that we got Trump out of there and Biden's in there, everything's going to be fine. I don't really have to pay attention anymore. No, we do, and it's the job of Bob and and myself and you, the listener, to impart the importance of this election to other people and to motivate them to get to the polls, to tell them what they have to lose if they don't vote.
Yeah. Victories are nothing but stopgaps, temporary stopgaps, unless we continue to vote, unless we continue to participate. I mean, further in this poll, this latest Gallup poll says that Democrats' interests overall have declined in interest in news, I'm saying here.
Yes.
With just 34% saying they paid a great deal of attention to national news in 2021 compared to 69% in November 2020.
I'm
so that's
glad
all
you,
Democrats. Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that number with you. That's very important. It shows us that since the 2020 election, Democrats have stopped paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
That's why it's the job of you and me and the people listening, both here and on social media and in real life, to get other people out to vote, to get them motivated by telling them what they have to lose if they don't.
That's exactly right. And I'm not sure what it is. I don't know why Democrats are wired this way. We get across the finish line of an election and we smoke a cigarette, we stamp it out, and we walk away. And I don't understand why that continues to be. I get it. You know what? It's exhausting following the news sometimes.
It is.
Trust me, I'm doing that every day, day in and day out. I'm following the news.
This week was 1 year since I retired, and I don't miss it. doing the news, following the news every move, every day, for day after day, week after week, 7 days a week for like 6 years. I can testify to how you can get tired of that. I still pay attention, even though I'm retired now. I still follow. I still get the news updates on my phone. I still watch what's happening. Nothing gets by me. It doesn't have to consume my life either. You can live your life and be aware of what's going on at the same time.
Yeah. Even on the best Republican victories, when Republicans win, they often win by actually losing the popular vote. Bear that in mind. Even in House elections, if you were to total the number of votes for Democrats versus the total number of votes for Republicans, there are always more votes for Democrats. The problem is that sometimes we take a nap. And it was like, you know what? I'm so exhausted with this news. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to check out now. And that's when we get fucked. That's when we lose big time.
The numbers you just shared show that's exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And we cannot afford that. I don't know if you can make your neighbor start watching the news again, but you can do your part to make them aware of what's going on.
Yeah. And I understand that all of us here doing the show, listening to the show, participating in the show, certainly supporting the show on Patreon, we all do our part. What we have to do now is make that infectious to others who are the ones who are taking a nap right
now. That's my message. Take people with you.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know who we can get. We all know where we can go in order to increase voter turnout, to increase voter registration, where we bring in all kinds of new Democrats. Maybe we bring back Democrats who haven't voted the last couple of cycles.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, because when we do that, what we know is whenever we do that, whenever we hustle, we win by significant margins. Look at 2006. Look at 2020. These are all cases. 2008, for God's sake. 2008. You know what happened in 2008? Barack Obama won Indiana. We had 60 votes in the United States Senate. I mean, it was touch and go there with Al Franken and then Ted Kennedy eventually dying. But we had around the range of 60 votes in the United States Senate. How did that happen? We got determined, and we were pissed off about the Bush administration, and we were pissed off about the recession, and we were pissed off about Iraq. And so we turned out and we won big time. And we did it again in 2012.
If you're pissed off about the book bannings, if you're pissed off about Republican attempts to suppress the black vote, if you're upset about what Republicans in Florida are doing to LGBTQ people, if any of these things make you mad, you should be voting. If any of these things make your neighbor mad, they should be voting, and you need to be sharing with them what the threat to them specifically is.
Yeah.
There's also a great deal of worry right now that Americans, regardless of their political stripe, are more worried about inflation than anything else. And we do have inflation right now. It won't last. It isn't good. But that's where the voters' minds are right now. So our Democratic candidates need to perhaps pay more attention to that.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
That doesn't mean, it's been argued whether or not it does any good to tout the accomplishments of the Biden administration, I say go ahead and try.
Oh, yeah.
Because the list is long of the good things that he's accomplished. Unfortunately, some of them are expiring now and going away. We've got it. The only way to get those things back is to elect a Democratic majority Congress in both houses.
And you know what I noticed, too, on the Democratic National Committee's Twitter feed, at the Democrats, I noticed that the tweets that get the most reach, the tweets that get liked and shared most often, are the ones that brag. And we need to do more bragging, I think. Let those swing voters know what has been actually accomplished here, because where they're getting their information is a lot of places that share not only disinformation, but then there are some outlets where it's the both sides nonsense. So it's a pox on both their houses. And if both sides do it, then everyone's doing it.
A lot of that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's
true. Yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of work to be done on this. But I think, again, if we turn out, there's nothing we can't accomplish. 82 million votes for Joe Biden in 2020. We had a huge watershed election in 2018. These are all positive indicators. Plus, there was, I was mentioning before, I think it was on Friday, we had a national poll, which is deceptive when it comes to House races, because you're breaking the national poll. You have to break that down into, you know, 435 individual districts. But suffice to say, the Democrats held an advantage nationally in the generic ballot in that poll. On the flip side of that, we look at a case in San Francisco where they had a school board recall election this week. And basically, this was a, you know, obviously there are a lot of details revolving around this having to do with COVID and closing schools and mask mandates. But this recall election in San Francisco was driven by the Republican Party and Republican interests, pro-Trump interests. This was a referendum on wokeism. That's how Mike Pence described it.
And they won because turnout was 35%.
Yes, exactly. These three school board members who were considered to be too woke by Republicans, they lost. They're going to be recalled. And it's because partly that Democrats didn't turn out. 35% turnout in that election. 35%. And we go, why is authoritarianism creeping into the United States? And this is why we don't fucking turn out, and we need to fucking turn out.
And they will be replaced by people who want to ban books, who want to prevent people from voting, who want to out your LGBTQ kid. These are the evil people that will now fill the void created by that recall election.
Right, right.
And all because Democrats, people in general, but Democrats specifically, did not turn out because they got complacent. We can't have this. We're losing. And local, as I said, local politics is everything right now, because that's what's driving the debate on masks and vaccines and books and all the rest of it. This is very important. And not only must we be engaged, but we must engage many others.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when I say... When I say something about this issue, we're not turning out. We need to be more aggressive. We need to hustle more so that we're not pantsed in the midterms. When I say that, I get a lot of pushback, saying people telling me, hey, Bob, why are you telling people to just vote harder? Voting harder isn't going to work. You know what? When we have a turnout of 35% in super liberal San Francisco, when that turnout is 35%, you better fucking well believe we need to vote harder. Abso-fucking-lutely do we need to vote harder. We need to work harder. We need to volunteer. We need to register voters. We need to drive their asses to the polling places. We need to make sure they're getting their mail-in ballot forms submitted on time. We need to make sure those forms are filled out correctly. We have work to do, but if we do that hard work, the rewards are immeasurable. The reward is pushing back against this idiocratic authoritarianism that's rising up in this country, and we can all see it. We all know where this is headed, but yet we're not doing a goddamn thing about it, or we are, and it's not enough.
That's the thing, is you look around it, and pardon me for repeating the list, but if you look around at the book bannings and then the LGBTQ discrimination and all the rest of it, you see that we have so much to lose. And so much to gain.
Yeah, yeah.
With the proper majority, with a real majority. We don't have a real majority now. We have a almost numerical, barely there majority. If we had a real majority by increasing the number of Democrats on Capitol Hill, then we wouldn't have to fear these things because steps would be taken to prevent them from happening in the first place.
Yeah. So, look, when the shit hits the fan politically in this country, it's partly because, well, the Republicans, they have no values anymore. They're all about lying and propaganda and disinformation. But you know what? When we lose in this, when we lose to those guys, it's mainly because we get out hustled. There are more of us than there are of them. It's cliche to say it, but it's true. There are more Democrats in this country. There are more left-leaning independents in this country than there are Trump supporters in this country. And all we need to do is harness that power. But instead we decide, I'm so exhausted with news. Fuck it. I'm not going to pay attention anymore. And then suddenly we see the results of an election. We go, why, oh, why did this happen? And
or in the case of some Democrats, they decided that because Biden was elected, they don't have to pay attention anymore. And so that's why it's our job to help them out in that department.
Yeah. You know, Oliver Willis has been observing that for some time now.
Yes,
where he says, you know, we get to this place as Democrats where we win an election. Then we go, I guess we won. That's it. We can go home now. And that's not the case. It's not. It's a temporary victory that can only stand with other victories subsequent to it.
Well, we've learned who will be delivering the speech you won't be listening to after the State of the Union address. Right. The Republicans have chosen Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds to deliver the GOP response to the State of the Union address.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, those always turn out to be great, don't they?
Yes. Like I said, just so you know what you won't be watching.
Yeah, exactly. No matter who it is, the responses to the State of the Union are always some level of fucked up.
Ridiculous. Taped 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, the high watermark of that was Bobby Jindal back in the day. I think, I don't know when that was, 2009, 2010, something like that. Yeah. Bobby Jindal doing the most awkward response to a State of the Union address. And I guess that tradition is going to continue this year.
Cool stuff in the shadow docket today?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of things we didn't get to. Some COVID news here. Trump scammed his supporters again, which is an ongoing problem. But, you know, screw them. I mean, they know that they're getting screwed in many cases, but they do it anyway.
He's a flim-flam man.
Absolutely. Plus, we're going to give you the complete list of legal cases against Donald Trump. There's a lot of things here. And so if you're interested the whole comprehensive list of how Donald Trump is going to be held legally accountable, and if only, you know, a fourth of the, if only 25% of the things that we're going to list actually happen, lead to indictments, that'll be great fucking news for the country.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm not looking at the list presently. I'll bring it up here in just a second. But Fonnie Willis, Georgia, Fulton County, Georgia, big fucking deal. Letitia James, big deal. New York District Attorney, big deal.
Serious, getting close.
Getting all of that. Plus, a judge dismissed last week another Trump thing that we're going to talk about, too. So Trump keeps losing in court. Got that and a whole lot more coming up on the Shadow Docket program on our Patreon page. BobSeskaShow.com to sign up. Sign up at $5 a month. You get two Shadow Dockets every week after the Tuesday show and after the Thursday show. And if you sign up at $10 a month, you get the after party too, plus two Shadow Dockets. Do it. Run, don't walk. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.